Well, praise Yahweh, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome to the Shepherd's Call. Glad to have you aboard with us tonight. This is live and direct on Truth Radio. It is January the 30th, and we are in the year 2002, as you very well know. So we're live here tonight, and we appreciate being in your homes or wherever that we are being downloaded or wherever that the satellite downloads are coming in tonight. And the micro rebroadcasters, we have many of those that rebroadcast us across the country. We are eternally grateful for the service that they do their communities, which we believe we have an important message here tonight to deliver to all those ears that are tuned in tonight to Truth Radio. Well, we appreciate you. Call a friend and tell them that we are on the air. We need your help to assist us. We earnestly solicit your help if you are Jacob Israel and if you have entered into a covenant with him. If you are a truth seeker, if you like meat, then you've come to the right place at the right time to hear this wonderful message about secret times and secret places. Of course, we're talking about the custom of Sabbath keeping. We know that Israel, we found out last night, that according to the scriptures that we brought, indicated that they were cast out of his sight because of failures to keep the divine covenant commandments of the scriptures. And they will not return unto him but until the last days. Now, when I say that they were cast out, I want to go to Hosea. We're getting right into the text tonight. We are riding, if you will, a fast horse here of scriptures. We want to bring as many on the preponderance of the evidence we have here to collect into your downloading ability to let it sink into your heart, your mind, if you will, and take these things and think upon them. For in doing so, you possibly, this is just possibly, this may be one of the most important messages that you ever heard. Why? Because we are going to reveal, we are going to uncover the secret times, those things which are kept secret from the foundation of the world, now only known to a precious few. I'm talking about his selected, the times of observance where that he has bringing us in the last days back to the old path. The Bible said, see and ask for the old path, and when you find it. And if you found this radio station tonight, we believe by the time that we get through with this hour's presentation, we will be transferring over to Soundwaves 2000 after the show immediately at 9 Eastern Standard Time. So you need to make reservations at soundwaves2000.com, and there you can have both of the shows live and direct. Praise Yahweh, because this will turn into a two-hour perhaps, maybe, just maybe, one of the most important, if you believe in the scriptures, if you want to go to heaven. Now, remember last night, I chastised those that say and do not. We're not looking for the sayers, we're looking for the doers. Now, we got a little bit carried away and got into the flesh realm last night and talked about or criticized those that smoke cigarettes. You can go to heaven without without having to be a non-smoker. In other words, smokers can go to heaven. What I was trying to infer, don't have time to explain myself a lot of times, is that smokers go quicker. And, of course, the logic of scientific data and evidence will tell you that you're shortening your life anywhere from 4 to 5 minutes every time you smoke a cigarette. So if you'd like to stay around, remember those cigarettes add up. If you're I had a habit. I told you that I smoked 3 packs a day, and I was a heavy cigarette smoker, and then I chewed tobacco in my spare time, and actually I could chew tobacco and smoke cigarettes at the same time. I carried a pipe and a box of cigars around when I would switch from one to the other, get my nicotine kick, if you will. But cigarettes will not keep you out of heaven if you're a smoker. We sympathize with you. We pray for you. We ask that you consider your own health and those that are around you, because secondary smoke is also a killer. We find out that secondary smoke is actually worse than primary smoke. So your friends and your loved ones around you are suffering as at a worse rate than you are. And so we just thought we'd add that in there. We're not against cigarette smoking, because we can stand you if you can stand us with the gospel. We'll just get on you from time to time and try to cut a limb off here and there and try to straighten you up and clean you up in the flesh, man. It's just a flesh man habit. It's no worse. Well, cigarette smokers are no worse than food addicts that sit down. And, you know, we got a lot of preachers like that. They got big, bulging stomachs. And they're on the chicken circuit, I call, and they're eating everything in sight, and it's always free. Most of the time, their meals are paid for, and so they develop a lust. It's called a gluttony spirit. And if you're a glutter and you don't smoke cigarettes, there ain't no sign that you could look down your long nose of indifference and a point of finger at somebody that's got just a simple flesh habit like you have. Well, we cleared that up. Now, let's get into the message. We're going to Hosea. Go there with us. Call a friend. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we're in the Bible. We're not in the 23rd chapter of your imagination. We're not preaching from Uncle Tom's almanac. We're not teaching a tradition of the elders. We're not teaching tradition of the bell box. We're hunting a home in heaven. We want to go. We are earnestly soliciting, and we're seeking for the right way. We believe that Israel's in trouble. Just like she was in the days of old, she failed to keep Yahweh's laws and statutes and commandments. We're going to give you an indication here where Yahweh expels the book of Hosea is actually a coverage of the 10 northern tribes, and because Yahweh's fixing to divorce himself and rid himself of this problem. You know, Israel can become a major problem. The Bible describes Israel as being a stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart in years of people. Well, the same thing today, but we do believe, we're going to give you some prophetic utterance here in the third and fourth chapter of the book of Hosea that may indicate divorce and then acceptance or reconciliation. You see, Yahweh redeems the prodigal son. That's who we are, Israel. If you look at the analogy there, it was Israel, the 10 northern tribes, that God excused and were given a party. This is a celebration of return. It was Israel that looked up and saw their need. But it was first Yahweh that looked out over the time plane and beheld the son in the pig pen of life. And that's where we've gone to. Literally, we are consumers of pork, meat, unclean, and we have broken every conceivable law that Yahweh ever gave to us, and yet he still loves us. Now, how can that be? Well, it's because we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace. Now, grace, when it is applied and understood, then it becomes a conviction, and convictions bring, it brings a recourse to come back to the old path, and by doing so, you will begin to enter into the straight path, and Yahweh will open up these things. I was on a 30-year seventh-day Sabbath, 30 years keeping Sabbath on the Saturday, Saturn Day. I was keeping it for purposes because that the Jews told me it was the Sabbath day. Of course, the Christians kept it on Sunday, and I wanted to be a little bit different from the Christians, so I kept it on Saturday. I found out that both of these are possibly wrong. We're going to give you indications tonight and prove it, that there is a secret time and a place for you to gather, meet, and for you to conduct yourself in these precious days. Now, we're in Hosea chapter 2, verse 11. Now, you got to read the whole book of Hosea to get the scope of what he's talking about here, but I will just induct here and read for you. Verse 11, chapter 2, Hosea, I will also cause all of Israel's mirth to cease. I will cease her feast days. I will cease her new moons. I will cease her Sabbaths. I will cease her solemn feast, these solemn feasts. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, wherever she hath and all the rewards that my lovers have given me, and I will make them a forest, and the beast of the field shall eat them. And I will visit upon her, this is Israel, the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with earrings and jewels, and she went out after her lovers and forgot me, saith Yahweh. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is a passionate plea from the husband as he is about to divorce his wife, Israel, and send them packing, praise Yahweh, giving her a bill of divorcement. But notice here that he says that he will cause all of her laughter, her mirth, to cease, her feast days, her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts and her new moons. Now, this is the combination of things that she had broken, forgotten. That Bible says in the 20th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, we gave you that last night, and told you expressively that Yahweh chided them because that they had broke his laws and his covenants, and they had failed to keep his Sabbaths, wherein, if a man shall do, it would be a sin. So the sign things that Yahweh's looking for is the Sabbath keepers, and we're talking about secret times. Ladies and gentlemen, Saturday Sabbath teaching by the Jews is false. I want to get up front. I want to go on record. You're listening to Pastor Buddy and a Shepherd's Call. I'm responsible for my doctrine, and to Yahweh I'm responsible, and I'm responsible for your blood. If I lead you astray, listen to the consequences. If I tell you something that I cannot substantiate by scriptures and back it up by force of the word, your blood, and heaven forbid, your blood shall be upon my soul. Now, I don't want that to happen. It's bad enough to go to hell with my sins, let alone to take you and your sins or be the cause or the result of you stumbling and falling and you going to hell. Therefore, I would receive a greater damnation. I'm purely interested in renewing your faith and bringing you up to the truth threshold, opening the door for you. I can't drag you in. I can't chase you in. I can't pull you in. But I can open the door for you and give you the opportunity to walk in and find rest for your soul. Verse 18. Here we go. Let me give you verse 17. Now, I will call in that day. Verse 16 says, in that day, in that day, in that day. Now, what's he talking about, in that day? Well, we'll show you just in a minute here, in that day, in the future time, 2,520 years from the code time. We're talking about secret times here, by the way, and now we're talking about secret places. Where did Israel go to? Where did Yahweh cast them out of his presence, out of the place where he'd given them? When they despised his laws, broke his commandments, they lost their place as a nation. They were favored. They had a great temple. It was the envy of the enemies around, and they had a great agricultural society. They were exporters of food, and they were Sabbath keepers in the divine unction of truth days, and they were blessed abundantly. Yahweh gave them the fruit, and the Bible says the land was a land that brought forth abundantly. Even it would take, listen to this now, it would take two men to carry a cluster of grapes. Two men. Two grown men would put a pole, if you will, a rod, and insert it into one cluster of grapes, and it would take two men to carry it. Now, we're talking about yielding to an unprecedented level of yielding to the blessed chosen ones. And yet they despised all these things. My heavens, one grape would fill you up. Now you can't get a grape. It's grown in Chile and in the California grapes. They've destroyed the vine. They've hibernated the grapes. Now the seed has been taken out. Most of the times you go to the store and look for a good grape, then you'll find nothing but a dehydrated, squibbled up grape, or you'll find one that has taken the original seed. Do not, and Sister Sherry, a health consultant, and Dr. Judy and others that I know would not recommend you eating anything that doesn't have the seed within itself. You see, seeded plants or seeded fruits and vegetables and nuts. These are the things that first Adam was put on, and the lifespan that they lived was enormous. But when alteration, we call it genetic insertion, if you will, they have taken out the seeds, and now they grow you fruit, and they hybridate, they crossbreed the fruits, and that's a, we're not supposed to do that. So then they trick us by doing that. But he said, I will take the name of Balaam out of your mouth in the day that I visit you, and they shall no more remember that name. And in that day, while I will make a covenant for them with the beast of the field and with the fowls of heaven and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth. Think about it. And I will make them to lie down safely. Oh my, I'm looking forward to a day when all that prophecy of the 18th chapter of the second chapter of Hosea is enforced, that he will make a covenant, and he will remove the creeping things of the ground and the beast of the field and the fowls of the heaven. And you have to understand what he's talking about spiritually here to understand what he's talking about. This covenant will be renewed. Now, down to verse 23, we're talking about secret places and secret things. I'm going to get into the Sabbath. We're going into the depth of it, into the New Testament, and we're going to prove that the Sabbath was very important to Yahweh, and yet Israel broke it, and for their breaking his covenants and his secret times, he removed them because they wanted to be like the heathen. They wanted to take off on Saturday and Sunday. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, they wanted to take off every day except the day that Yahweh had designated and delegated and brought in and said, if you will keep these days, I promise you, I'll feed you, your children will never go hungry, you shall have no lack, and you shall sow the field, and you shall reap three times, praise Yahweh. And today we have, you know what we have to do? We have to doctor the earth to get it to even to yield to us. Isn't this an amazing thing where the earth was cursed and it refused to yield except in briars and thistle? Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's an amazing thing how that Yahweh can deplete the earth of all of its minerals, and yet he can devise a weed or a thistle or a thorn, filth, under filth, where when land is clean, if you neglect it, here comes the filth. It don't need no fertilizer. It don't need no botany expert to tell you what the soil needs. It don't need any soil conversation. What is the word? It's very hard for me to get out of my mouth in that. Conversation, no, I can't even say it. So I'll just even refuse to say that word and say that if you want to conserve the earth and let it bring forth, then you don't need to bring a soil conservationist in, if you will, to give you an analysis of the contents of the earth and the mineral content and what it needs and whatnot. If you would keep Yahweh's laws, it would yield automatically. It would yield its full potential. However, it only yields thorns and thistles, and those are the things that briars. My heavens, I'm telling you what, you don't even have to fertilize and bring them up. But now I want to give you verse 5 of chapter 3. Listen at the scriptures as we read in verse 5 of chapter 3. Here's the promise. Afterward shall the children of Israel return. Now, after the days of the punishment, after the exiling, they will be in the last days in the isles afar off, and in America we shall return, we shall be reestablished, we shall be reunited with the covenant of and the love and the spirit of Yahweh. Now, that has to happen somewhere at some point in history and time. Well, the time is here. Many of the revelation secrets that we are bringing out on the Shepherd's Call are trailblazing secrets and things that's been kept secret for a long time, generations for that matter. And however, we give it liberally, we give it abundantly, we lay the meat on your table and let you decide with the preponderance of the evidence that we lay out that something is wrong with the world and its system and whatever we call Jacob Israel. Now, most of the racial covenant, two-seed line identity people are full of complaint. They murmur and complain, and they look at how bad the world is, and they never look at their own self. They never examine themselves to see if they are doing anything contrary or doing anything that would cause Yahweh to be mad at them or to turn his back on them, even as he turned his back upon the people that were in exile or were to be exiled. Ladies and gentlemen, we are doing the same thing, same old, that they're doing. No wonder we are the tail and not the head. No wonder we can't make up the hedge. No wonder we can't mount up with wings of an eagle. No wonder that we aren't the abundant blessers lending to many nations. That we are not the lenders, but we are the buyers, and we have come back to the end of the caboose. And there we sit with our fingers in our mouth, sucking our thumbs like a bunch of spoiled brats, complaining about Babylon. Ladies and gentlemen, it has nothing to do with Babylon when we're talking about the divine covenants. If you want to break the yoke of Babylon, it's very easy to do. Return unto Yahweh, love him, and keep his commandments. It's that simple. You visit most of these Christian identities, and they don't even know what the first one is, let alone how to keep it. My heavens, my people, here it is. We're very conveniently right in the chapter that I fixed to quote this verse. I'll just read it to you on the next page, chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge, rejected knowledge. If this is knowledge, if this is the evidence of what is wrong with Israel, and you reject it, Yahweh shall reject you. You shall have no priest. And you shall be no priest, seeing that you have forgotten the law of your God. I will also forget you and your children. Now, verse 5 again of chapter 3. After this shall Israel return and seek the Lord their God, Yahweh Elohim, if you will, and David their king, and they shall fear Yahweh and his goodness in, look at the verse that is underlined here, latter days. In the latter days, we shall return and seek Yahweh and David. Now, David was an Ephraimite. We're talking about the leadership of the house of Ephraim that will bring on the divine revelations, because to them, Yahweh chose, sanctified, and called them. In the last days, they will open their mouth in, not parables, but they will open their mouth with a word that the Bible says, though you will not believe, though a man declare it or prove it unto you. And that's the controversy here. Now, quickly, enough said there on that point. Enough said, let's go to the new parchment. We're going to Luke, and we're going into the fourth chapter of the book of Luke. Now, this is an amazing scripture here. I want you to read it. I'm going to start at Luke 4:14, so I'm going to give you a couple of seconds to get over there. As you turn the page, I can hear you ruffling the pages. We're so thankful to have our teaching class here tonight. We're just leveling out now and getting down to the home stretch of the proof that's in the scriptures here. And the Bible said, prove all things. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no use of searching the scriptures if everything's been fulfilled. We don't have to do nothing no more. My heavens, we're down at the bottom of there. But let me remind you again, if we don't have to do anything, what in the hell are we doing looking in the scriptures? Why don't we just go to hell with all them and forget Yahweh's laws, and whatever we are, be a good and go to church of our choice and use the almanac? That'd come closer to some people keeping the days than it would some of the scriptures that they read, or better yet, some of the scriptures they've forgotten. Well, Pastor Buddy the Shepherd's gone. I'm coming back in two. You come back with me, and we'll get into this as we come back. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy. We're over in Luke, and we've got a good one going here tonight. We're on secret times and secret places. We are looking into the truth. Do we have to keep Sabbath? Is it important? Now, my answer is emphatically yes. These things are most important. The observance of times when Yahweh himself has set these times perpetually in the heavens to meet with us, that is the house of Israel, in these covenant times. And Yahweh will only appear in these covenants. Yahweh has made an oath to these covenants. This is holy times. Now, we're going to examine the scriptures here, and I'm going to give you some astounding information. Especially in the second half, I'm going to get into the eighth day creation, eighth day man, and the eighth day plan, and prove to you that the eighth day is the seventh day if we use the formula of Yahweh. Now, this may be very strange to your ears, but I covered it in detail last night in the formula of how to lay the formula out. And we will get back into that, and I'll prove the eighth day is the day that is set aside in the month for the Sabbath, the first Sabbath, and then you keep a six working days and then a Sabbath after that. So we are going to really break some new territory here tonight for you. Now, we're in the fourth chapter of Luke. We're in the 14th verse. And Jesus, we're going to use the word Jesus here for your reference. It is Yahweshua in the Aramaic. It is not Yahshua, as some people, or Yahweshua. It is not that. It wasn't that. There are just as much scripture for Jesus as it is Yahweshua, Yahshua, rather than Yahweshua. He came claiming to be Yahweh. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, if it had claimed to be Yahweh, they would have killed him. Duh. Guess what? Praise Yahweh. They stoned him to death. John, St. John, chapter 10, verse 30. They stoned him with stones three times, at least I can read in the Bible, and finally put him to death over making himself God. He was literally God walking in the flesh, and he came in the name of the Father. He didn't come in the name of some little general back in the ancient times, where Yahshua, if you will, Joshua in English, as they call him, he didn't come to bear that name. He come with a name above every name, ladies and gentlemen. And if you're going to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son, you better get one name and decide which one it is, because you certainly can't use two if you don't believe that Yahweh was the one they call Yahshua or Jesus. Then you got a major problem here, and you need an old-fashioned preacher like me to take the word out and give you a good word test to correct your understanding. And that I delight in doing, praise y'all, because I sent to preach the gospel. Here it is in 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him throughout all the region around about. This was a famous evangelist. He was very famous. And the Bible said, the Jews said, if we leave this man and his ministry alone, if we don't step in and do something, then he's going to turn the whole world upside down, and the whole world will believe on him, and they will leave us in the dust. Well, you see what jealousy, envy, and spite and hatred did? Nailed the Messiah to a torture stake. But greater than that, that was the plan, that they would kill him and hate him, which is what they did, and then that he would pull a good one on them. He would raise the third day. They didn't allow for him raising up. And the same one that raised up ate and drank with him 40 days and 40 nights after that he had resurrected. He was seen 40 days and 40 nights. Now notice the scriptures here. He said his fame spread throughout, and notice what he did. Now this is in Galilee, and he taught in their churches, synagogue, it says here, and every time we say the word synagogue, we think about a Jew. Get that out of your mind. It was a meeting place. We're in northern Galilee, the 10 northern kingdom tribes, and he taught in their churches, being glorified of all. Now, here is the clincher for the covenant practices and customs, and as he was in the world, even so are we, did he keep Sabbath? Let's see. And he came to Nazareth, the city of Nazareth, where he had been brought up. Notice it didn't say where he was born. He was not born in Bethlehem, Judea. Right from my free tape and information and the geographical layout, he was born in Bethlehem, Ephratah. Not in Bethlehem, Judea. And, of course, the Jews expertly, meaning that they would deceive the world by saying Christ was a Jew and he was born in Bethlehem, Judea. That is not true. It is a word change that they have effectively done, the scribes, and we are warned to be beware of them. Here we go in 16. You need to mark it in your Bible as a reference check. If you want to be like Christ, remember, he was looking for people that would believe his gospel. He said, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say to do? The very same things that he taught and practiced is still being observed today by the faithful few. Although his truth has been cast to the ground and people have prospered in breaking it and setting up a pagan Semite way in the bell box mentalities of the three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouths of the beast and the false prophet, and of course they are Christian in their nature. But listen, the Bible said they preach just enough truth to deceive the very elect, and that's what they do. Verse 16, and he came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Listen to me. He went in as his custom was on what day? The Sabbath day. Now, we got to figure out what day the Sabbath is. Now, if you will go from there, we go over to John. We're going to the seventh chapter. Follow me, if you will. These are the systematic. We're going through the scripture systematically and looking for signs and seasons and reasons. Praise Yahweh. We're in the seventh chapter. I'm going to begin at verse 20. Let me begin at 19, just because I want to read it all to you. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keep the law? Now, here's the Messiah indicting everyone in his presence, telling them that none of them had kept the law. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, on how the Bible says that they were very astute keepers, and they kept it according to their laws. You see, they've added 700 or 613 laws to the divine covenant that Yahweh gave. He only gave 10 commandments. And within that framework, the Bible said the greatest of them two is the first two, which is love Yahweh first, and the second is love man second, or Israel. That's the commandment that if you keep, you will do well. Now notice, did not Moses give you the law? None of you keep it. Why do you go about to kill me? See, they were trying to kill him. Then the people answered and said to him, you've got a devil. Well, how many times has Pastor Buddy ever heard that from these people? Call me up. Oh, you blasphemer, you've got a devil. We hate you. You're ruining the world with your gospel. You know, I hear it every day. Praise always somebody, some negative, someone sends me something negative every day. You are a devil. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it takes more than that to stop this gospel. Just because you think I'm a devil, it puts me in select company. They thought he was one. Now, I wonder what had them deceived. Same thing that's got you deceived, thinking I'm one. If you think that. Of course, I don't believe none of my classes listening in, although I do have my peers listening. Those are my equal, the pastors and teachers. They keep a ear to the web listening to Pastor Buddy. Why? Because I'm taking them to Sunday school, and they'd be the first one, and I would pull their britches down and smack their rear and redden it up real good, and then hang a cord of embarrassment around their neck, praise Yahweh, and hang them to the first sorry apple tree that come along for failure to yield to the gospel and preach the truth of the revelation. You got a devil, they said, and went, that's who's going about to kill you. Then Jesus said unto them, I have done one work, and you all marvel. Moses, therefore, gave you circumcision, not because it was of Moses, but of the fathers, and you on the Sabbath day. Remember now, you on the Sabbath day. Circumcise a man. So it was commanded through the fathers for the Sabbath to be an observant time where that they would uncover the concealment of the flesh of the penis, if you will, and take it back as a covenant sign that these are the sons of Yahweh. It was the hidden head revealed. It was a symbol that the head man, Yahweh himself, would become flesh and cover himself, unwrap himself in a veil of flesh, come down here, and then he would make himself known unto his people. That's what circumcision was all about. Nothing more, nothing less. Now, if a man on the Sabbath day, now get this, if a man on the Sabbath day received circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken. Now, when was it given? That they were to circumcise on the Sabbath day. Now, we're going to find out through the scriptures what day the Sabbath is. Remember, I have given you an 8-day covenant formula, and I'm going to prove to you that it's the seventh day if you begin the count after the first day of the month, and then work 6 days, it would actually be the seventh day. But if you included the first day, which is a non-count, non-work day, which is the new moon, if you would begin that, it's 8 days. You see, the formula here is so simple that, ladies and gentlemen, he hid the simplicity in the three measures of meal here to give you a comprehensive understanding, and yet we go idly on believing the lie of the Jews and the Roman Christians, Constantine, who himself changed the covenant. Now, I want you to go there, if you will, in the margin of verse 23, between the margin of 23 and 24, please, write in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 5. Now, what does Philippians chapter 3, verse 5 have to do with this scripture or with the text here? Well, let's find out exactly what it actually means as we go over to the book of Philippians. It's the book after Ephesians in your New Testament. And we're going to read chapter 2. Remember, I quoted it last night at verses 9, but we're going to go in. That's chapter 2, but we're going to chapter 3. Now, look at verse 5. The scripture here, you on the Sabbath day, and I'm going to prove to you that the Apostle Paul, who said himself he was a Pharisee, concerning the law was perfect. You believe he kept it? I do. Because he said, concerning the law, I was perfect. This is the Apostle Paul. He had a great zeal. Now, the folks up there, the Yahweh, had chided and said, y'all break the law, and none of you keep it. He was talking about those Edomite Jews that were standing before him trying to convict and kill him. Now, this wouldn't have been Paul. Paul was a man that was in pursuit of the kingdom. Here he was, and we go from the 7th chapter, the 23rd verse of John, right in there, Philippians 3 and 5, and you got it. Praise Yahweh. This is Paul. I want you to know that I might also have, I'm going to read verse 4, have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he has whereto to glory or to trust in the flesh, I have even more to glory. Circumcised what day? Hey, what, he was circumcised on the Sabbath day now, ladies and gentlemen. Now, what day was the Sabbath day? Was it in the meaning of, and we're going to give you the formula as we look at it, and we're going to give you some scriptures to substantiate this and back it all up, praise Yahweh. Well, I didn't say I'm out of time. I thought I could give you more, but I'm not going to be able to on this first hour. We'll continue as we cross over to soundwaves2000.com here in about, we've got about 8 or 9 minutes. So I'll be crossing over to bring you substantial scriptures to prove the eighth day is the Sabbath recognized, but it is the seventh day if you look at the formula that Yahweh has devised. Now you say, oh, that's very complex, that's very confusing, Pastor Buddy. If I had you in my presence, and you would give me 2 hours on this one Sabbath subject, I could convince you without any problem. Or you would have to deny the scriptures. Now, surely, if you're my classmates and you're taking notes, that if you have any questions on this, you're free to call me. I'm not against you calling and asking questions. But please don't be afraid to ask Pastor Buddy questions. Now, if you're in opposition to this, please feel free to call. Now, I don't want to get into any long, lengthy 3 or 4 hour discussion and debate because I've got other things to do. If you want to debate me, write it down, send me a letter, or email me, ejohnson, that's ejohnson, at www.gap.net. You can send me all of your Saturday Sabbath scriptures, And believe me, after 30 years, I've been there. You can send me the solar Sabbath scriptures. Believe me, I've been there. And you can send me the Sunday Sabbath scriptures. Believe me, I've been there. But I'm going to show you the biblical reasoning of the word and get you down to where I have given you. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisees. He was a Pharisee, but he was circumcised on the eighth day. Now, we're talking about the law commanded them to be circumcised on the Sabbath. Is the Sabbath an eighth day? Yes, it is. Now, was Adam an eighth day creation or a eighth day product? He wasn't created on the eighth day. He was made. There is a difference, so I'll change my terminology here for the sake of that. Was he an eighth-day product? Yes, he was. So this is symbolic of take heed, lest any of Adam's children have an unbelieving heart, fail to enter into his rest. This is what he's talking about. This is the code. This is the key to the understanding. Well, I'm going to have to quit it right there. Praise Yahweh, as I'm coming up on about 8 or 9 minutes here on the broadcast. Praise Yahweh. So let me give you my telephone number. If you'd like to call me, I will continue this, by the way, on Soundwaves 2000. Don't miss it. If you miss this, you're going to miss out on some of the keys, the clinchers, if you will, the ones that really nail it to the wall and just spike it down good. Praise Yahweh. Make it steadfast and unmovable in the relationship of the true times to worship Yahweh. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Israel has failed. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Israel has come up short. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there's a restoration coming across America and the world, and it's being led. We are the vanguard of this message. We are the trailbreakers. We are the first on the scene preaching it that we know of. If you know anybody else, please do Pastor Buddy a favor and get in touch with Pastor Buddy. I'd love to have some fellowship along the way. And, of course, if you become a believer, you need to contact Pastor Buddy, and you can do that by simply dialing area code 423-626-2172. Now, I'll be on the broadcast until 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and then I will be available. But sometimes I get several calls after the broadcast. If the line is busy or if you get referred over to voicemail, please talk very plainly. Some people leave their addresses and telephone numbers, and I can't even understand it. So talk slowly and very discreetly and very legibly, and then I can get your telephone number. I'll call you back. On my nickel, praise Yahweh, we'll discuss the things that you want to discuss. It's that simple. And if you'd like to write me, that's a good way to do it. Just drop me a line. Praise Yahweh. Old Pastor Buddy, when it goes to the post office box, and he's got a letter. Went yesterday, I had some mail in there that was addressed to Pastor Buddy. It really rejoiced my heart. Encouragement, the sweet things, cards. I just received a beautiful card yesterday. Praise Yahweh. It was a Hallmark Hall of Fame card. I'm telling you, it was about a $4 or $5 card. And the people care that send those things, and with their love and their response, and with their encouragement, Pastor Buddy preached the gospel. We're the only one that know. We would love to have you in our church to preach like you do. Well, I'm sorry, there's not enough men in the country to preach it. I'm not the only man preaching it. There's a lot of men out there, and I respect those that are. I have very little respect for those that hide the truth, but I have great respect for those that reveal it and bring it out of concealment, just like the word circumcision is for. It's to cut away the hidden things. Where we're circumcising the Sabbath in the secret times, we are rolling back the skin from the headship, and we're giving you the revelation. Now, again, email me at www.galp.net. That's E. Johnson. That's E as in Eagle. E. Johnson at www.galp, that is spelled www.galp.net. and you will get on my email list, and we will keep you informed of what Pastor Buddy's doing and what we're up to and what new things we've got. We can download you from some free information about who Israel is and how the snake got in the house and all those wonderful things. Praise Yahweh and the genealogy aspects of it. And many of you are asking, and we are sending those out. Praise Yahweh. Sister Sherry, our webmaster, has made it very, very easy for you to find us on the Shepherd's Call and our webpage. You just send for the webpage, and I'll see that is forwarded to you, and you can have our webpage, all information we got up there, many links to it that Sister Sherry's got worked out for you. So she does a wonderful job for me up there in the great state of South Dakota. Praise Yahweh. And we've got listeners also above her up there in the northern part of the Dakotas, plumb up into the Dakotas, plumb into Montana, plumb into Canada, British Columbia. We have calls from that area. Praise Yahweh. We welcome you aboard tonight. We salute you in the great name of the magnanimous King, and we give you praise and honor for hanging in there with Pastor Buddy and the teachings. If you can take this, ladies and gentlemen, you sure can take the bell box message. Hallelujah. Well, let's go into what's keeping us on the air. We got to get in and sell some soap here, and we will be much obliged, as the old Southern drawl goes. In our best Southern drawl, we'd be much obliged for you to call these toll-free numbers. Both of these numbers I'm fixing to give you are toll-free. I give them every night for the purpose of you, and I can tell you what Miracle 2 is. You need to write for the information, the booklet, telling the good news about Miracle 2, and it was a covenant formula given by Almighty Yahweh to a man that brought this wonderful product in. It is a replaceable a product for all of your harsh chemicals and things, the soaps and shampoos and all this stuff that you don't need to be using for obvious reasons, and I can't get into that. Maybe sometime we can have Dr. Judy or Sister Sherry, the herbalist, maybe we can get them on, if we could ever get a connection tie-in, where that they could expound. By the way, Sister Judy's on every Monday night on Truth at she's on at 9 o'clock on every Monday night, so you need to listen to her. She can give you some reasons for Miracle 2, Praise Yahweh, and other products expressively. Dr. Gary, this is a jewel in the crown of the Mighty One, Yahweh. He is at 1-877-289-7439. That's Dr. Gary. He's a professional in the medical field. And you can reach him at 1-877-289-7439. Now, if you are east of the Mississippi and you're up my way, please give this number a call. This is Dr. Jack. He's also a medical a doctor, and he is experienced in his field and highly trained professional. That is 1-888-281-7320. Just give him a call and tell him you're listening to Pastor Buddy. And it would mean much for you just call them up and leave a message. If you get the voicemail, just leave a message. And if you want to place an order, make sure you talk to one of these fine gentlemen here. That's Dr. Gary at 1-877-289-7439 or Dr. Jack at 1-888-281-7320. Well, my time is coming gone. I've got to get off here, and we're heading for Soundwaves 2000, moving over to the other part of California. Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. We'll see you tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Yahweh bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call. We hope you'll join us each evening on this station. Praise Yahweh.